Is life gotten any easier since David's left the quartet? Does it make a little does it make things a little bit easier that he's not running around with the Emersons?
Well, you know, they're part of the reason he's leaving. It's because there's many, many projects in the horizon. There's so many duo recital requests we could not possibly fit it in with the quartet schedule on top of it. So the 13-14 season will play plenty of duo recitals, just like the one we will be doing in San Antonio. We'll also play trio concerts. And for 14-15, we actually add in a piano quartet project as well. And both David has never been on the Chamber Music Society tour, 7 years since he was here. So he will join some of the society tour, which he's dying to do, to work with his colleagues here in Lincoln Center and some young musicians. So we got plenty of things keeping us busy. He also accepted a few concerto engagements. So he will play the Britten Concerto this summer in Aspen. We will open the Salt Lake Symphony with the Beethoven Triple Concerto. We also founded a chamber music school in Korea 3 years ago, so and also a chamber music festival in Korea. So we will visit the Far East, plus Japan has invitation coming as well. So we'll be plenty busy.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is a very romantic program. How did you guys decide to put these three sonatas together with the Messiaen?
I knew you were going to ask that question. you know, I was just practicing this program, and probably because I just played last Friday in Lincoln Center a love song program with Brahms and Schumann together, and I realized this is really another sort of a love-related program. Strauss wrote his cello sonata when he was very young, and this is just a youthful obsession when you fall in love. I think he was 18 years old, and it's similar to his violin sonata. His violin sonata was dedicated to his future wife, and I believe the cello sonata probably has something to do with her as well. The Messiaen is from the Quartet for the End of Time, and this is the praise to the eternity of Jesus. So it's incredibly religious, but it's filled with sort of dedication to the eternal love. And the Chopin sonata was a piece Chopin wrote after he broke up with George Sand. So it's incredibly sad and stormy, except the most glorious slow movement, only the most simple and fantastic line. It's equal to some of his nocturnes and maybe even some of the preludes. So it's one of those sort of a standard, the most extraordinary, but standard cello repertoire. The piano part is notoriously difficult. It's famous. So I'm very happy that I'm tackling it. Of course, the Brahms E minor sonata is just really the center of the romanticism. So it's going to be a very enjoyable afternoon for sure.
The Chopin, he wrote so incredibly well for the piano, but this is one of those few works that actually does throw in, you know, is really for cello and piano. And it's,
yes.
it is one of those, you know, hyper-romantic, you know, it is that Largo,
yes,
just speaks so much to your heart. It's amazing.
Yes. Yes. It's like the oasis in the stormy ocean. You know, all three other movements are wild and passionate, and this one slow movement, it just takes you to the another world. We actually always love to play that movement. Actually, to tell you a private thing, that we actually never did quite rehearse that because that slow movement has to play with such inventiveness, intense intimacy, and I always said, let's not over-rehearse this movement. And it's never the same on stage. It's just always something extraordinary that if we're tuning to each other.
And I imagine that's something that's almost inexpressible, to be able to make music with your husband and to be able to share these very intimate and sometimes incredibly passionate works.
Well, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. I must say that it's not necessary we play differently, but we were involved with music first before we were involved romantically. So the musical language, when we go back to play our dual recital, I always feel we go back to the roots of our relationship. I remember first time playing with David was a whole bunch of recitals. He was entering the Piatigorsky competition, which then he won. Chopin Sonata was on the program, and I remember many people come backstage, asked us, "Are you guys married?" And it was, no. I was like, no way, you know. No, I barely know this guy. I'm just playing a cello recital. But it was some chemistry happened while both of us play together, and people keep telling us that. And I feel very fortunate that it's the partnership that is something that we really can, I feel I can start a sentence and David could finish it for me in the music. So it's a privilege and it's an incredible pleasure.
Well, we're really looking forward to being able to hear you guys live. I know you've recorded several of these, but it's always something special to hear it live. As you say, sometimes it's never the same, you know, when you guys play.
Uh-huh. Well, we love live concert because I think live concert can never substitute, it can never be substituted by listening to recording. There's always a room filled with people and sharing the same experience. And sometimes I know if we hit it correctly, you just can feel the silence with, you know, people who are the same mind. And that's just such an incredible sort of community feeling. And we always strive for that. I always walk away from my concert feeling that I'm the luckiest person on earth.
Well, we also love this new recording that Phil Setzer with wonderful trios.
Oh, how fantastic you have that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The piano trio is it's like a string quartet. It's just got that chemistry with the voices. And I was going to say, how do you guys choose this sort of repertoire? Is it stuff that you guys have said, oh, we really need to do this?
Mm. Yes, that's exactly how the trio happened. David asked me, if we don't record a cello piano duo, what would I like to do? And I remember the first thing came out of my mouth was the piano trios, which I know all of the repertoire from, you know, Beethoven, Mozart, Haydn, to the contemporary. So, and David said, what would you like to record the most? And I said, the two Schubert trios. There's no question about that. It's two of my favorite work, but incredibly difficult. It's famous of being sort of a statement from any piano trios. And I know Phil's playing so well, and I also know how David and Phil are like brothers. They've been together in the Emerson Quartet for the last 34 years, and they play like gloves to your hands. You know, they just sound amazing. So we invited Phil to record the Schubert trio without any career sort of consideration. Just let's put this down because we all love playing this music so much. And what happened is I gave the disc to my manager, and the next thing he called up, he said, oh, I sent it to a few people. Can you give me like some dates so we could book some concert? Would you like to play some concerts? I said, sure, I'll give you 3 weeks. And the next thing I know, he got 19 concerts lined up. So like, oh my God, David. And then what happened is the next year, my manager said, look, you know, there's still some people want this program. I can't fill it in. Can you give me another 3 weeks? So I thought, okay, I'll play the Schubert trio again. But three of us loved this so much and loved playing together so much, we tackled the Mendelssohn trio that year. And so this project just, we never name ourselves as a trio, but the project just keep continuing. We just finished the Dvorak trio recordings, and we're planning another one or two ahead of us. And they are all music that we consider are the greatest in the trio repertoire. And it's just, I enjoy that process so much, you know, to make music without thinking about your career. You know, just play purely for the love of it. So it's quite a project. It's very inspiring, and we had the best time on tour as well. In fact, we're leaving before we come to San Antonio. We'll play some trio concert in Florida before we come to Texas.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you guys have expanded the repertoire with cello and piano duets. I know there's some beautiful Bruce Adolf and Peter Jalbert and different folks. Have you guys looked at some new music for trios at all?
Not yet. Right now, the new music for trios is not in the top priority at the moment. But the cello sonatas was four different sonatas commissioned and written specifically for both of us. And that's a very, very special project. You know, all of the four composers, Lara Auerbach, Bruce Adolf, George Santakis, and Pierre Jalbert, are all close friends and knows our playing really, really well. So, you know, when you get a submission from a composer that knowing they have you in mind to write the piece, it's one of the most frightening experiences. The sense of responsibility and excitement. And when we learned all four pieces and presented them in many of our recitals, we thought this would be a perfect sort of a disc to present to the world. So far, the trio has not got to that point just yet.
All right.
And I hope it will.
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. Well, it's wonderful to talk to you. And I guess I'd end asking about you guys were, I think, so on the leading edge of actually saying, you know what, we want to have our own record label. And now it's a little more common for like the London Symphony to, you know, release their own records or the London Philharmonic. But I mean, the technology has started to catch up. But you guys, I think, were way out there in front to say, you know what, we want to do our own thing, and we want to have control over our own project. That's got to be, not only do you guys mentor, you know, like the CM2 and, you know, just different things. I think this was really such a groundbreaking thing. Is it nice now to look, you know, 10, 15 years later and say, yeah, this was the right move?
Well, you know, it was something, I think, being an artist that I think both me and David are quite stubborn in many ways. If it's something we're incredibly passionate about and really believe in, we just sort of usually throw ourselves into the project. The Artist Lab was formed in that sort of a determination. I remember we have some offer from small recording labels, but we had to play what they want us to play. We can't use our own engineer. We can't touch the edit. And there's so many restrictions, you know, for artistic statement, like making a recording. And we didn't even think about internet or anything like that. We just say, look, I know how to make the best recording. Can you give me, let's just find the opportunity to do that. And in the most, and let's not compromise anything, repertoire, sound, choice of microphone, choice of engineer, choice of takes. It just let us take over and see what we can come up with. And I'm very, very thankful it has been supported by many, many, many devoted fans and classical music lover. So that's always, now when I look back, of course, it gives us an extra edge that now, since the most of the traditional recording company does not really support classical music musicians in the recording genre, so I feel very, very lucky to have the privilege now to choose any repertoire from my own belief and in order to make the best record I know how to make to offer to the world. You know, that sort of translates to other things as well, presenting concerts, like our work in Music at Menlo and Chamber Music Society. Also, now we're getting a little older. I feel like I want to devote a lot of my time with a younger musician. I just came back from Calgary over the weekend playing with three fantastic young musicians from the Chamber Music Society 2 roster, which is the brooding ground for us for the next generation of great young musicians that is devoting to chamber music genre. So it's something I feel is necessary. It's very mission-driven. It's something I really believe in. And I always function in that sort of principle. And somehow, if the career takes us somewhere, that's fine. I never really think about that part of it. But I do know that I love chamber music so, so much. I will always devote my time for that. And whatever it takes us, if the principle is correct, if the devotion is there, the passion is there, I hope to move everybody with us. So far, it's been working.
Well, it's great stuff, and we're looking forward to much, much more and to having you guys here in San Antonio.
Thank you so much. I look forward to meet all the audience and play for all of you.